webpage at michiganradio.org. Now to the Michigan Supreme Court, where Justice Diane Hathaway will resign from the bench January 21st. Her announcement came after the state's Judicial Tenure Commission unveiled a 19-page complaint accusing her of money laundering, fraud, tax evasion, and lying to the JTC all over real estate transactions. Federal prosecutors have accused Hathaway and her husband of fraud in the sale of their home in suburban Detroit. While trying to negotiate a short sale with a bank, they put their debt-free Florida home in the name of a relative. And then after the sale, the home went back into their names. No charges have been filed, but the government does have a civil lawsuit pending to seize the home. The Judicial Tenure Commission and Hathaway's retirement is a huge development, not just in the legal community, but for the citizens of Michigan, as this will most certainly mean a shift in the political makeup of our highest court. Larry Dubin, University of Detroit Mercy Law School professor, joins us now. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Well, is this about as big as it gets in terms of earth-shaking events in Michigan's highest court?
Well, it certainly is. It's something that has never happened, and that is having the Judicial Tenure Commission, which is the judicial watchdog of the Michigan judiciary, essentially file a petition to gain an immediate suspension of a sitting justice of the Michigan Supreme Court. So to that extent, it is an event that has never happened, and I think is of very great consequence.
Were you surprised by some of the language used was very stern? The word brazen was used even. Did that take you aback as far as the, shall we say, ferocity of the complaint filed by the JTC?
Well, it certainly, I think, gave the flavor of how they viewed her conduct in terms of the allegations that were made. This is an agency, the Judicial Tenure Commission, that does not attempt to be the good friend of judges that they go after in general. There are, I think, among judges at times a feeling that they can be heavy-handed or that procedurally judges do not have a fair potential response in terms of discovery of allegations against them, things of that nature. So there is an adversarial relationship between the Judicial Tenure Commission and judges who eventually they go after, but it was very strong language, no question about it.
Now, what does Justice Hathaway's resignation mean to her in terms, first, of the JTC accusations? Those go away, right?
They certainly should. If she's no longer a judge, if she is voluntarily resigning, apparently, according to the news reports, she has indicated that she will not sit even between now and the point of her resignation later on in January. Once she resigns, she's no longer a judge, and they would not have any jurisdiction over her.
So what could happen to her now in terms of criminal charges?
Well, that is a totally separate consideration. The U.S. Attorney's Office has filed civil charges against her for purposes of acquiring a piece of property that she allegedly owns in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But we really don't know, and it would certainly not be made public as to their intention, if one exists, to proceed with criminal charges against her with respect to some of the types of allegations that we read about yesterday that the Judicial Tenure Commission brought in terms of bank fraud or money laundering, things of that nature that may potentially fit within certain federal statutes.
We're talking with University of Detroit Mercy law professor Larry Dubin about the impending resignation of Michigan Supreme Court Justice Diane Hathaway, who will step down from the bench January 21st. What comes now? There is no special election, correct? So it's up to Governor Snyder?
That's right. This is a
huge
non-election event in that the governor has the opportunity, and from, I guess, from a political standpoint, these Supreme Court seats are highly fought over as a political contest. Tremendous sums of money put forth by the political parties, even though they're considered nonpartisan elections, to get their candidates to win. So to have a someone who ran who was selected by the Democratic Party, which Justice Hathaway was, now to no longer be on the bench and to have a Republican governor having the opportunity without an election to appoint someone who then certainly stands to have an advantage in the election 2 years from now, is just a political gift.
So we could see the high court with a 5-2 Republican majority.
That's right. That's
and
right. Now it is a 4-3, and that would make it a 5-2.
So what do you expect this would mean in terms of future decisions from the high court?
Well, you know, occasionally when you have a 4-3 court, which is what we have right now, you pretty much have a sense of the likelihood of how the justices will vote on close questions. And when you're 5-2, you lose the opportunity of the occasional justice who can shift from the unexpected to the other side. So 4-3 is still substantial in Michigan. I think that the conservative justices tend to, make decisions, and I'm going to have to generalize here, but that tend to be more pro-business. The minority justices now tend to view the rights of individuals, I think, with greater sensitivity. So when you when you're at 5-2, even if you have someone from the majority go over to the minority, you still have a majority, and therefore it bolsters the Republican edge in the Michigan Supreme Court.
Who do you feel, Larry, are the likely candidates to replace Diane Hathaway?
Well, the one that I've heard that seems to be one of the leading individuals is Judge O'Brien from the Oakland County Circuit Court.
Judge Colleen O'Brien, yes.
Yes, who ran in the last election and I think had the blessings of the Republican Party. And when it comes to a governor making an appointment, a governor likes to obviously please the rank and file of his or her party. And therefore, it certainly wouldn't be a surprise if she's right at close or perhaps even at the top of the list.
This entire story that's been unraveling and unfolding about Justice Diane Hathaway, basically, we're looking at the downfall of a state Supreme Court justice. What were your thoughts and feelings as you watched this develop?
Well, regardless of one's party affiliation, I find it to be a very sad occasion. She had a substantial career as a circuit court judge. She won a hard-fought election a couple years ago in winning her position on the Michigan Supreme Court, which is a tremendous accomplishment for any lawyer. And with respect to all of the justices, whether they were originally appointed or I have won elections. You have to admire the fact that they have risen to that level of the judiciary. And as I said, aside from political affiliation, I would find this to be sad for any member of the state Supreme Court to have to resign under these circumstances. And there certainly is the potential of criminal charges. There is the potential for even beyond that, the Michigan Attorney Grievance Commission bringing charges against her that could even threaten her license to practice. She is married to a lawyer, so it could involve both of them. I'm not suggesting any of these actions will take place, but I have, sympathy and sadness on the one hand for someone of that stature to be meeting the consequences of resignation so abruptly. And on the other hand, I guess in terms of my reaction to what ultimately will be decided with respect to all of these matters, at this point, the process has to play out. And I certainly, in my mind, have an open mind and give all presumptions of innocence toward her. So I don't have any political negative feelings that, as some Republicans have been quoted in a very negative way, I would not offer that sentiment.
University of Detroit Mercy Law School professor Larry Dubin. Larry, thanks for talking with us today.
My pleasure.